Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel.
Soon, my husband Rob and I will be taking test drives of different vehicles for him to finally replace his 2000 CRV. And those of you who have been listening for a while know that this has been a very long process for us. We have been talking about replacing his oldie but goodie for years now, but I think it's actually going to happen sometime soon. And here is one of the questions I have for our guest, and I have for you this hour. Should I encourage him to buy a used Jeep Wrangler or not? And why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, December 7th. But we aren't just doing this program for me to get your advice or our guest's advice. We are doing this because car sales are up. 2015 is on pace to be one of the best years for vehicle sales in U.S. history, but not every automaker is celebrating. VW sales are down, as are sales of Priuses, while SUVs have become more popular. Are you in the market for a new car? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Jamie Page Deaton, the Managing Automotive Editor at U.S. News and World Report. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back with us. And I think I talked to you last year at about this time, and I was talking about replacing this 2000 Honda CR-V of ours. But we haven't done it yet. We may soon. Before we get to that, though, I'd just get your take on what's going on with car sales these days. They are up this month over the same period last year. They are on target to break records for the year as a whole. Why do you think this is?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different reasons. One is just, consumer confidence and the turnaround on the economy are pretty high. People are feeling like they have a little bit of extra money in their pockets, and it's, time to spend some of that money on a new car. That partially comes from, gas prices. You mentioned of, SUVs being popular, whereas cars like the Toyota Prius being less popular. When you have low gas prices, it frees up a lot of money in people's budgets, and they can then, in turn, put that money towards a new car. Another thing that's kind of interesting about this sales cycle that we're in is that usually when you see sales like this, or when we've seen sales numbers like this in the past, there's been a lot of spending on incentives by automakers that are driving sales. And while there are good incentives and good deals and discounts out there on new cars, that the automakers aren't spending an incredible amount on there. These are not like the record-setting incentives that we've seen in the past.
Oh, because they don't have to.
They don't have to. I mean, they don't want to give you a discount if they can get you in the dealership without doing that. I mean, there are some discounts still available, and some good deals out there, but I mean, it's not like record-setting discounts like we've seen in the past. I mean, usually this time of year is really the best time of year to buy a car if you're looking to get the best price. Typically, the week between Christmas and New Year's is when we see the lowest transaction prices of the year, and that's because at that point, automakers and dealers are trying to, end the year on a good note. They're trying to sell down their 2015 models to get, make room for the 2016 models. And at this point, we're seeing some of those similar trends. We're seeing some of the best discounts that we've seen of the year so far. But, compared to years past where automakers are really trying to jumpstart sales, the incentives, they're pretty good, but they're just not as great as we've seen before.
Well, so are Priuses or VW, are they offering incentives because their sales are down?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting. First, with the Prius, you can get some really great deals on a 2015 Prius right now because the 2016 Prius is all new and dealers are trying to unload the 2015 models. So you can get a pretty good deal on a Prius. When it comes to VW now, the company's actually in kind of an interesting position. They're actually hearing a lot of frustration from VW dealers because, in November, VW sales were down 25%, which is incredible given, the sales of other automakers. But to be down 25% in November, is really bad news for VW. And what happened is, after this VW diesel emissions scandals broke, the National VW Corporation was really supporting dealers by giving them good incentives to pass on to buyers. So VW sales in September and October were actually just flat. They hadn't lost any. In November, VW cut its support for some of its sales incentives and sales just tanked. So we're not really seeing very good incentives from VW, and that's one of the reasons why their sales are so poor compared to everybody else.
A guest that we talked to recently was not an automobile expert, was questioning whether the VW brand could recover from this. What do you think?
You know, I don't know, honestly. You know, VW is an incredibly large brand with a very long history. This is one of those things where if they're going to recover, they're going to have to work very, very hard to do it. They've abused consumer trust with this, particularly a group of consumers that were buying their cars because they believed in, you know, helping the environment. They believed they were doing something good. You know, these VW diesel buyers were people who, you know, were basically buying an ethos, they thought, when they bought the car. So really, getting those consumers back, I think, is going to be incredibly difficult for VW because those consumers really have a sense of betrayal. I think for people who like VW, you know, their gas model cars or like VW because they're fun to drive and have nice interiors, those consumers won't be that hard to win back. But it's really the environmental consumers that VW is really going to have a hard time rebuilding trust with. Yeah.
So are we seeing the lost interest in Priuses and other hybrids solely because of low gas prices?
Yeah, that's what most of the analysts I've spoken with say. It's just because of low gas prices. Because, you know, those cars, you do have to compromise when you're getting, you know, a Prius or a very fuel-efficient car. Typically, you end up, you know, they're not as fast as other cars. Or, you know, they don't have an interior that's as well, you know, that's as well insulated because to save weight and get better fuel economy, you cut out sound deadening material. So it's kind of hard, I think, for a consumer to get into a Prius when you're looking at it and you're like, well, you know, it's not quite as nice as this, you know, Toyota Highlander right next to it. And if you do the math on hybrids and other fuel-efficient cars, usually there is a price premium that you pay for that car. You know, a Prius is more expensive compared to a similar, you know, mid-sized car or hatchback. And so when you're doing the math on it, when gas prices are cheap, you can't make the money back by saving money on gas. So a lot of consumers, I think, get into a Prius, you know, they go to, or a other fuel-efficient car, they go to the dealership, they say, well, this car is more expensive, but I don't feel like I'm getting as much for my money, so yeah, I'm going to go to the, you know, the Highlander that's next to the Prius, or I'll choose something else that's not a hybrid because gas prices are so low, and I can get something that's big, has great performance, and is more comfortable overall.
Driving to a car dealership yesterday, I noticed that a local gas station, $1.88 a gallon for gas. That's just...
I know, it's incredible.
But is it wise to make such a major consumer choice based on something that varies so much?
Well, there's the rub. I think consumers who are maybe going out and saying, you know what, gas is cheap, I'm going to go buy a giant truck or a giant SUV. You know, those consumers maybe are having a little bit too short of a memory when it comes to things like that. You know, gas prices will probably go up. However, at this point, analysts don't see it going up in the near future at all. There is plenty of production, and what we see is, and analysts I've spoken to have said that, you know, countries, you know, and groups like the Saudis and OPEC are trying to keep production high in order to keep prices low because what they're hoping will happen is that newer producers or producers that are, you know, growing and exploring for new oil fields like the U.S., they're hoping that it'll make it too expensive with the low prices for, say, the U.S. to go invest in new oil fields or new production areas. And then once, you know, the U.S. stops producing as much oil, the U.S. and other countries, then, you know, production from OPEC will ramp back down, which will drive prices back up. But at this point, you know, if you think about it, like Saudi Arabia has huge cash reserves, so they can weather these low gas prices much better than, you know, countries like the United States can. And so it's really what they're doing is they're keeping prices low in hopes of basically pricing the U.S. out of the oil market, the U.S. and other countries as well. But, you know, for consumers, it means that, you know, for the time being, yeah, gas prices are going to stay low, but you never know what's going to happen in 2-3 years. And what I think people need to realize is if you're thinking about going out and buying a new car, most new car loans now are 5 years, 6 years. There's even some 7-year car loans out there. So you could be paying off this car for 7 years or 5 years, and nobody knows what gas prices are going to do in the meantime. So a car payment that seems affordable now because gas is $1.89 a gallon may not seem so affordable in 3 to 4 years when you still have that loan to pay off and gas prices are now up to $2-3.
Yeah, good point. Just a minute before news, I just wanted to get your take on my husband, who wants to buy a car that probably has the worst gas mileage in the world, the Jeep Wrangler. but he's always wanted one of these vehicles. It's one of these, you know, since he was a kid, kind of a desire. What are your thoughts on the Jeep Wrangler?
I absolutely love the Jeep Wrangler. I think it is, you know, one of those carpe diem cars. If you want one, nothing else is going to fill that space in your heart. That said, you know, if you're coming from a CRV, you know, the Wrangler doesn't have the same reputation for reliability as the CRV does. It's shaped like a brick, so, you know, fuel economy is not all that great. And then, you know, if you're willing to give up some of the comforts of the CRV, you know, the Wrangler has a removable roof, which means that it's not particularly well insulated in the winter, so you better be investing in, you know, some flannel-lined jeans. And some other things as well to keep warm. But I think it's a great, really fun SUV.
Let me check news, and then we'll be back, and we'll take your questions and your recommendations for new cars or used cars. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So are you going to buy a brand new car this year, or maybe a used car? What are you looking for and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about car sales, as car sales are up. And our guest also has some recommendations for us. Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. She will be with us only for another 15 minutes or so as we are going to turn our attention to our fear of terrorism coming up at about 6:45. A guest psychologist will join us to respond to President Obama's address to the nation last night, where the president was hoping we do not give in to our fears of terrorism or our fears of others. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org, though, if you have a question or a recommendation when it comes to vehicles. Jamie, I wanted to ask you before we go to the phones about these Best Brands awards from U.S. News and World Reports. And I see on here, I'm kind of laughing, that one of the best brands in SUVs is the Honda CR-V.
Yeah, what we did for these Best Vehicle Brand Awards, first, if you're familiar with the U.S. News Best Car Rankings, you can go check them out by going to usnews.com/cars, and we rank cars in a number of different categories. Now, for the Best Brand Awards, we took all of the car categories, all of the SUV categories, all of the luxury categories, and all of the truck categories, and we looked at which brands had the best performance across all of their products in those categories. And so Honda was the winner of the Best SUV Brand because across all of the SUV categories, you know, products like the CR-V, the Honda Pilot, and the Honda HR-V were really, you know, miles above the other brands in our rankings. Same thing with Mazda when it comes to cars, Porsche when it came to luxury brands, and Ford when it came to truck brands. Overall, their products perform much better in our rankings than the cars and trucks and SUVs from other brands do. So these are really a great tool if you know you need an SUV or you know you need a car, but you're not really sure where to start. Start with one of these four brands, and really, you know, their products, you know, they're better than the rest for the most part, and they can really help you focus your shopping.
Good. And pretty sure we have posted that particular site on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so you can find the Best Vehicle Brand Awards from U.S. News and World Reports on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have Linda on Facebook who says, we are looking at a used Highlander. Great reviews, and it could tow my little camper, hoping gas prices stay down. Well, maybe for a few years, huh, Jamie? But what do you say about the Highlander?
The used Highlander, I mean, it's great because it's a very practical SUV. You know, buying a used car, super smart because somebody else has already taken the hit on depreciation. And then, of course, when it comes to a Highlander, you know, it's a Toyota. They have great reputations for reliability. And again, too, you know, the Highlander is not, you know, it uses more gas than, say, a Prius would, but it's not a gas-guzzling, body-on-frame, you know, truck-based SUV. So if you really need an SUV that can do some towing, but you don't want to pay out the nose for gas when prices go back up, then the Highlander's a good choice.
Let's go to Tom in Superior, who has a question. Hi, Tom.
Hi. We're just thinking about buying a truck, four-door, four-wheel drive, a long driveway, and if it ever snows, we'll need it. And we're out looking, and everything, you know, we were just looking at maybe spending 10 grand or something on a truck, and if you're going to get that, you're going to be looking at 200,000 miles in a rusty for a truck, and why are they so high?
Yeah, so why are used trucks so expensive?
Oh, Tom, I feel your pain because my husband and I are looking for the exact same thing and running into the exact same problem. You know, we just want, you know, a truck that, you know, would be good for taking trash to the dump. Maybe we could put a plow on the front. You know, we're not looking for a lot of bells and whistles. But used trucks prices are high basically because demand for them is so high. Anytime you have low gas prices, more and more people start thinking about a truck because, you know, the utility on a truck is so great. Especially, you know, if you live in a northern area and you're looking for something with four-wheel drive and that's in good condition, I mean, the prices are just through the roof. Even if you're looking at, you know, new trucks, you know, you're not seeing a lot of big, huge discounts on them. So it's really just because of gas prices, just because of demand, particularly if you're in an area like Wisconsin or I live in New Hampshire, you know, you're going to end up having to pay for what you're looking for simply because demand is high. Now, you might be able to save a little bit of money, you know, if you widen your search and look in areas where truck demand isn't quite as high as where you might be. You know, if you expanded your search maybe to around Chicago or things like that, you might find some trucks. But really what it comes down to is consumer demand for used trucks is high, business demand for used trucks is high, and as a result, prices are staying high. You know, nothing can really be done about it, but man, I feel your pain. I'd really like a good truck for around $10,000.
Yeah, good luck to you, Tom. Yeah, the best truck brand award from U.S. News & World Report is Ford, and you say that this is on the strength of the Ford F-150.
Yeah, the F-150 was just recently redesigned, and the interesting thing that Ford did with it is they went with an aluminum frame on it. Aluminum is a lot lighter than the typical steel frame that you get with a truck, and as a result, the fuel economy in the F-150 is much better than you would get in, you know, from comparative trucks. But beyond that, Ford has done a really nice job. If you want to spend the money, you can get basically a luxury car interior in the F-150 and all of these really cool high-tech connectivity features, which, you know, you might not need if you're just a regular consumer. But if you are, you know, a business owner and looking to buy a fleet of these things, those things can be very, very handy. And the nice thing, too, about the F-150 is, you know, it's got this, you know, aluminum frame. It's great for fuel economy, but they didn't sacrifice any capability with it. It can still tow and haul just as much as other full-size trucks.
Joan on Facebook asks, looking for a recommendation for a fuel-efficient all-wheel drive vehicle. Thanks.
Joan, that's kind of a tough bill because all-wheel drive adds weight. Weight is bad for fuel economy. But you do have a couple of options out there. One is the Honda HR-V. Honda is, you know, our best SUV brand this year. The HR-V is a subcompact SUV. It's based on the Honda Fit, so it's quite small and it's quite fuel efficient and it has all-wheel drive. This is a car that we've been recommending left and right because it works for so many people. It's got, even though it's a small car, it's got great interior space. I tested it and was able to fit my two kids and their car seats in there and our dog with absolutely no problem. Plus, we had room for a little bit of cargo as well, which was really impressive in an SUV that small. And it's part of this class that's becoming more and more popular of subcompact SUVs, which are very small SUVs. So you get, you know, the seating position of an SUV, you get the all-wheel drive, but you don't have the big fuel footprint and you don't have the terrible fuel economy. So you should also check out, in addition to the HR-V, the Mazda CX-3. Which is another great little option, the Chevrolet Trax, which is a good small SUV. And then you might also consider the Subaru XV Crosstrek, which if you really want to save a little bit more gas, but of course you're going to pay a little bit more money, that actually comes in a hybrid version as well. So, you know, if you do a lot of city driving, a lot of stopping and going, the XV Crosstrek is a great way to save a little bit of extra gas on top of that. But really, if you're looking for something with all-wheel drive that's also fuel efficient, start looking at subcompact SUVs.
Yeah. You know, that's one that I told my husband about last time we talked, and he was concerned that when something is brand new, a brand new model, that there might be some, you know, some problems with it. That's not the case with this particular vehicle.
Well, I mean, the conventional wisdom is, you know, you never buy the first model year of a new model, or you never buy the first model year after a redesign. And if you actually dig into the reliability data, that's just not the case. Now automakers are really good about, you know, testing their cars before they send them to market and ironing out as many of the bugs as possible. And so, because, of course, it's very expensive for them when, you know, they spend all this money developing a new car and it launches and, boom, you know, it falls flat like a lemon because there's so many issues with it. So I think, you know, in the past that may have been true, but now buying a new model or the first, you know, of a redesigned model is really not the risk that it was once. There's just so much testing that goes into it. You can buy it and not really have to worry like you used to.
I know. I can get the HRV and he can get his Jeep. So maybe
there you go. That's a good compromise.
There we go. Virginia emails, I have a 2009 Scion XB. I really like this car, but it recently began to use oil. I see some chatter on the internet about a factory defect. Is there any help from Scion to take care of this problem? Well, I don't know if you know that specific problem, Jamie, but maybe some general advice on what you do if you feel you've got a car that's got some sort of factory defect.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you can do. First is contact the automaker, not the dealer. You always want to go to the automaker. If you go to the Scion or whatever the automaker is, your consumer website, scroll to the very bottom of the page. There's usually a customer service or contact us link that can put you in contact with the automaker directly. And that will let you see if there is some sort of issue going, you know, ongoing with the car and, you know, if you can get if they'll fix it, if there's a factory defect. They may already have a recall out for the fix. In a lot of cases, what automakers do is, unless it's a safety recall, they'll do what's known as a silent recall, which means that they will fix the car if you bring it to them and bring it to their attention. But unlike recalls where, you know, where it's like a safety recall where they're forced to do it by the government, they're not going to contact you and let you know that there might be a problem. So if you contact the automaker, you might find out that there is, in fact, a silent recall on the car, and you might be able to get it fixed at no cost to you, just at your local dealer. If that's not the case, what you can do is you can go to safercar.gov. That's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And you can enter your complaint into a database where if they get enough complaints from consumers in that database, that can start to trigger a recall as well. And that would be an involuntary recall where the automaker would then be forced to, you know, fix your car. So you've got sort of two options there. One is try and work directly with the automaker because they might be aware of the problem and might be ready to fix it, you know, before you even have to do anything. But if they're not as responsive as you'd like, go on over to safercar.gov, enter your complaint into the recall database, and if enough consumers do that, you might be able to, you know, get your problem fixed.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Jamie Page Deaton, Managing Automotive Editor at U.S. News and World Report. We're talking about cars and good cars that you can buy, and she's answering your questions about cars as we are buying more new cars this year and this month, 2015, on pace to be one of the best years for vehicle sales in U.S. history. We're talking about why and what people are buying and what maybe you want to buy. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. If you do have a question or a recommendation for us, call us soon, as Jamie will be with us only for another 5 minutes or so. Then we're going to be turning our attention to President Obama's address about terrorism that he delivered last night. Back to the phones, and Holly in Madison is with us now. Hi, Holly.
Hi, good morning. We are looking at Subaru Outback used vehicles, and I was wondering, is it better to look for a low mileage used vehicle or a newer year model?
Oh, I see. So does it matter what the year is if it's low mileage? Is that kind of what you mean?
Correct.
Yeah. So should she get a late model, or is the low mileage what's important, Jamie?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of you know, reliability and things like that, I'd go for low mileage every time. The only time I would go, you know, shopping based on model year is if, though, you know, is if there was a feature that you absolutely had to have, and say it was only introduced in 2010, so the 2009 is not going to have it. So say, for example, you really want, you know, this navigation system that's so great, or in, you know, 2010, the Outback was redesigned, so it was much bigger, then in that case, yeah, you'd want to shop by model year. But for the most part, when it comes to cars, model year doesn't really matter. What matters in terms of, you know, life in the car is the mileage on it. Every mile that a car drives, you know, is one less mile than it's going to be driven in the future. These things are not going to go forever. So if you have a high mileage car, you know, that's miles that you're not going to get to drive on it. That's mile, that's use that's been taken out of the car. And now, you know, with good proper maintenance, a car with high miles on it can go for, you know, another 100,000 miles. But the thing to keep in mind is you don't always know when you're buying a used car how well maintained it has been. And so, you know, you're really just kind of gambling there if you go for a high mileage car. So when in doubt, I'd always go for the lower mileage car, unless there's a particular feature that I wanted from a given model year.
Good luck, Holly. Sadie emails, I just bought a 2012 Subaru Outback, and I absolutely love it. I chose the Outback because of their impeccable reliability, great gas mileage, all-wheel drive, and steady high resale trade-in value. And the killer sound system and sunroof are awesome. So there are apparently other reasons why Sadie likes her Outback. What do you think of the Outback?
The Outback is one of our top-ranked wagons. We consider it a wagon. I think probably you could also call it a crossover because it does have a slightly higher ride height, but it's always at the top of our wagon rankings. When we do our Best Cars for the Money Awards and Best Cars for Families, it usually takes home one of those as well. And it's simply put just a great, versatile car. And what's really nice about it is it's sort of, you know, you can really customize it. You know, you can go and, like Sadie, you know, put in like a really great sound system with it, or you can make it just a very, you know, sort of budget-friendly car if you go for the base model. And what's nice about the Outback is it's so incredibly safe, so that no matter how much you spend, you're getting like a good, practical family car that has great safety ratings. Or if you want to spend more money and go for the higher trim options, you can get, you know, the leather, you can get all of the high-tech features, you can get the navigation and the Bluetooth and all that stuff that's, you know, makes driving around, you know, a little bit more fun and keeps you connected. But the shell of the Outback is so great because no matter what you put on the inside, you're still getting this very practical, reliable car, all-wheel drive standard, and again, great, great safety rating. So if that's something that's important to you, the Outback should definitely be on your short list.
Erin in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Erin.
Hi. I had a question. It's actually two parts. So I'm looking at buying a new car before the end of the year. I'm looking between the Jeep Cherokee, the Mazda CX-5, and then the Ford Escape. I wasn't sure if you had any recommendations between the three, and then at what point at the end of the year would I get the best deal on those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are three really great options. I'd say it depends on the best one for you. Really depends on what you're looking for. You know, the Jeep Cherokee has a fair amount of cargo space. I'm actually looking at the one in my driveway right now because I'm testing it this week. Very comfortable seats. Some nice cargo features like the storage space underneath the passenger seat. The CX-5 has a very upscale interior and is really, really fun to drive. So if that's a priority for you, then of course I would go for the CX-5. It also has great reliability ratings. The Ford Escape is just, you know, a basic, very good SUV. I mean, any one of those three would work for you if it was me shopping, because I like to have a good time when I drive and I like the upscale look of the interior on the CX-5. That would be the one I would go for because it really has sort of that complete package of performance, upscale interior, and great reliability. When you're shopping for these cars, timing will be key. Now, you're shopping in compact SUVs, which is a very popular category right now, so you're probably not going to be able to negotiate down, you know, to a really good price. But if you go during that week between Christmas and New Year's, where dealers are looking to end the year strong, and not a lot of people are shopping, that's when you'll be able to go in and hopefully get the best deal. Now, if you go to usnews.com/cars, we actually collect all of the available incentives for Mazdas, Fords, and Jeeps every month. So before you go in, check and see which incentives are available on the car you want. Because when you're looking at three, you know, compact SUVs that are this good, you might just want to, you know, shop on price and whichever one will get you the best deal. So check the deals before you go to the dealership. Take some time and go in that week between Christmas and New Year's and, you know, really see, you know, talk to a number of different dealers to see, you know, and play them off each other and use that as a negotiation tool. See who will give you the best price and then make your move.
Great. Jamie, it's always very informative talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Jamie Page Deaton, Managing Automotive Editor at U.S. News and World Report. We'll check news and then we'll talk our fear of terrorism after that. It's all very fun.